20 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to Exodus, reading chapters 8 to 10. The second plague, frogs. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go so that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs. The Nile shall swarm with frogs. They shall come up to you into your palace, into your bedchamber and your bed, into your the houses of your officials and of your people, and into your ovens and your kneading bowls. The frogs shall come up on you and on your people and on all of your officials.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, the canals and the pools, and make frogs come up on the land of Egypt.' So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the magicians did the same by their secret arts and brought frogs up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, 'Pray to the Lord to take away the frogs from me and my people, and I will let the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' Moses said to Pharaoh, 'Kindly tell me when I am to pray for you and for your officials and for your people, that the frogs may be removed from you and your houses be left only in the Nile.' And he said, 'Tomorrow.' Moses said, 'As you say, so that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God, the frogs shall leave you and your houses and your officials and your people. They shall be left only in the Nile.' Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs that they had brought upon Pharaoh. And the Lord did as Moses requested. The frogs died in the houses, the courtyards, and the fields, and they gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his heart and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said." The third plague, gnats. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats throughout the whole land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and the gnats came on humans and animals alike. All the dust of the earth turned into gnats throughout the whole land of Egypt. The magicians tried to produce gnats by their secret arts, but they could not. There were gnats on both humans and animals. And the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. The fourth plague, flies. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go so that they may serve me. Because if you will not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you, your officials and your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, as will the land where they live. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people live, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am Lord in this land. Thus I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This sign shall appear tomorrow.' The Lord did so, and great swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh and into his officials' houses. In all of Egypt, the land was ruined because of the flies. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, 'Go sacrifice to your God within the land.' But Moses said, 'It would not be right to do so, for the sacrifices that we offer to the Lord our God are offensive to the Egyptians. If we offer in the sight of the Egyptians sacrifices that are offensive to them, will they not stone us? We must go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us.' So Pharaoh said, 'I will let you sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, provided that you do not go very far away. Pray for me.' Then Moses said, 'As soon as I leave you, I will pray to the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh, from his officials, and from his people. Only do not let Pharaoh again deal falsely by not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord.' So Moses went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord, and the Lord did as Moses asked. He removed the swarms of flies from the Pharaoh, from his officials, and from his people. Not one remained, but Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and would not let the people go. The fifth plague, livestock diseased. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go so that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, the hand of the Lord will strike with a deadly pestilence your livestock in the fields, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing shall die of all that belongs to the Israelites.' The Lord set a time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land.' And on the next day the Lord did so. All of the Egyptians' livestock died, but none of the Israelites' livestock died. Pharaoh inquired and found that not even one of the Israelites' livestock had died, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he would not let the people go. The sixth plague, boils. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take handfuls of soot from the kiln and let Moses throw it in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become dust all over the land of Egypt and shall cause festering boils on humans and animals throughout the whole land of Egypt.' So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it caused festering boils on humans and animals. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils afflicted the magicians as well as the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he would not listen to them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. The seventh plague, thunder and hail. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go so that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues upon you yourself, your officials, and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all of the earth. Indeed, by now I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But this is why I have let you live, to show you my power and to make my name resound throughout all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people by not letting them go. Tomorrow at this time, I will cause the heaviest hail to fall that has ever fallen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Send therefore and have your livestock and everything that you have in the open field brought to a secure place. Every human or animal that is in the open field and is not brought under shelter will die when the hail comes down upon them." Those officials of Pharaoh who feared the word of the God hurried their slaves and livestock off to a secure place. But those who did not regard the word of the Lord left their slaves and livestock in the open field. The Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand towards heaven so that hail may fall on the whole land of Egypt, on humans and animals and all the plants of the field in the land of Egypt." Then Moses stretched out his staff towards heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire came from down on the earth. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. There was hail with fire flashing continually in the midst of it. Such heavy hail has had never fallen in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the open field throughout all of the land of Egypt, both human and animal. The hail struck down all the plants of the field and shattered every tree in the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the Israelites were, was there no hail. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said to them, "This time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Pray to the Lord. Enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go. You need stay no longer." Moses said to him, "As soon as I have gone out of this city, I will stretch my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your officials, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord." Now the flax and the barley were ruined, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not ruined, for they are late in coming up. So Moses left Pharaoh, went out of the city, and stretched his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured down on the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned once more and hardened his heart, he and his officials. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he would not let the Israelites go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. The eighth plague, locusts. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his officials, in order that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell your children and grandchildren how I have made fools of the Egyptians and what sign I have done amongst them, so that you may know that I am the Lord." So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country. They shall cover the surface of the land so that no one will be able to see the land. They shall devour the last remnant left you after the hail, and they shall devour every tree of yours that grows in the field. They shall fill your houses and the houses of all your officials and all of the Egyptians, something that neither your parents nor your grandparents have seen, from the day they came on earth to this day." Then he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long shall this fellow be a snare to us? Send the people away so that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not un yet understand that Egypt is ruined?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go serve the Lord your God." But which ones are to go? Moses said, "We will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and daughters and with our flocks and herds, because we have the Lord's festival to celebrate." He said to them, "The Lord indeed will be with you if ever I let your little ones go with you. Plainly, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, never. Your men may go and serve the Lord, for that is what you are asking." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt so that the locusts may come upon it and eat every plant in the land and all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all the day and all that night. When morning came, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came upon all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as has never been before nor ever shall be again. They covered the surface of the whole land so that the land was black, and they ate all the plants in the land and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Nothing green was left on the trees or on the plants in the fields in all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh hurriedly summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Do forgive my sins this once and pray to the Lord your God that at least he remove this deadly thing from me." So he went out from Pharaoh and prayed to the Lord. The Lord changed the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go. The ninth plague, darkness. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand towards heaven so that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand towards heaven, and there was dense darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. People could not see one another, and for 3 days they could not move from where they were. But all the Israelites had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord. Only your flocks and your herds shall remain behind. Even your little ones may go with you." But Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings to sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock must also go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must choose some of them to serve the Lord our God, and we will not know what to use to serve the Lord until we arrive there." But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he was unwilling to let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, "Get away from me. Take care that you do not see my face again, for on the day you see my face, you shall die." And Moses said, "Just as you say, I will never see your face again." Pharaoh continues to resist despite multiple plagues. A plague of darkness brings him the closest, agreeing to let the people go without their livestock. Is there something about darkness that is more painful than the previous plagues. To not be able to see one another or move from where you are, the darkness created isolation. Now let's move to Luke 14 to 16. Jesus heals the man with edema. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had edema. And Jesus asked the experts in the law and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent, so Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. Humility and hospitality. When he noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then in disgrace you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when your host come, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friend or your brothers and sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The parable of the great dinner. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say that those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land and I must go and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you have ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled, for I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" The cost of discipleship. Now, Lord, large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." About salt. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is useful neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. They throw it away. If you have ears to hear, then hear. The parable of the lost sheep. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." He told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The parable of the lost coin. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. The parable of the prodigal and his brother. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands."' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far away, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and approached the house. He heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all those years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The parable of the dishonest manager. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of oil, olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful in the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or to be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The law and the kingdom of God. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed him. So he said to them, "You are those who justify yourself in the sight of others, but God knows your heart, for what is prized by humans is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John came. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is being proclaimed, and everyone tries to enter it by force. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter in the law to be dropped. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery." The rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day, and at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets, and they should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? The parable of the prodigal son teaches us of the healing and reconciliation. The father states, "This brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." Are there times in your life when you have offended or acted against someone whom you love? How did you repair the harm and reconnect? When have you forgiven someone who harmed you? Part of what allowed for reconciliation is the son's acknowledgement of error. To truly heal, we must be willing to name the harm and acknowledge our role in it. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come and may your will be done as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.